Good morning. It's Saturday, September 17th, 2022. We're continuing along with our two verses in Philippians chapter 4. Today is part 3, and reading verses 6 and 7 in the New King James Version. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will, or shall, actually, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Last week, we finished working verse 6, and today, of course, we're going to pick it up in verse 7. The word for peace in just general Greek literature was in relation to a state of national tranquility. And it meant an exemption from the rage and havoc of war. So biblically, the peace of God is best described as the tranquil state of a soul, being assured of its salvation through Christ, having no dread or fear of its future. Now, with this peace of God, there is a serenity, a safety, a prosperity, and there's harmony. And that makes and keeps things safe and prosperous. We have no dread, no fear of our future with God, none whatsoever. See how impressive the truth is to our minds that we know and that we come to believe, to really trust that God gives liberally. With hope and expectation, the born-again one serenely awaits the promised return of Christ. When? At that time, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and those asleep in Christ shall rise to join those who are alive on that glorious day, and all will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and shall forever be with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:49, reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, is just so tenderly assuring. It says, and just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. And then verses 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. They won't just be raised alive. They will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. All of us. Those who are asleep that just got raised incorruptible and the ones who are alive. We will all be changed. Now, this is a good question. How can the mind of one who is unsaved even begin to approach the reality of these precious, promising, and comforting assurances? Heck, even after 53 years of reading these precious verses, I remain in sheer amazement at the reality. It baffles my brain, but I know the word. I believe the word, and I have come to trust God at his word. And that's what we do. So, you know, our salvation moment, whenever that was, maybe you don't know exactly when it was that you believed, but follow the idea. Our salvation moment should never become just an historical thing that happened somewhere back in our lives. No. Our praise of that moment in time, whenever it was, whether we can exactly remember the date, the time, the hour, the place. If that precious moment in time, it should be dear and close in our hearts each and every day. It's possible that you may not know exactly when you believed. That is very possible, especially if you lived in a Christian home or not. but you know that you are born again today because you believed on Jesus Christ. Well, consider this. The entrance of his unspeakable gift, as 2 Corinthians 9:15 calls it in the King James, it means indescribable. That means the words fail. There are no words adequate to express or describe and revere the greatness of his gift of Holy Spirit. With all this gift means to us in our earthly bodies, Ephesians says, it's a token for that which is to come. You know, it's our boarding pass for eternity. So, you know, daily, these spiritual realities should bring a calmness to our soul. Those are a few things we can understand and somewhat comprehend about the peace of God. Verse 7 of Philippians 4 says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. So, no matter how much we think, know, and believe, it's greater yet. It's greater beyond our mental capacities. Looking at the word surpasses, in the context of this verse, it means excels, superior, higher, supreme, synonyms like that. In other words, with any aspect concerning God, we have learned this year, there are no comparisons. It's that elevated. Nothing is in sight. There's nothing in the rear view mirror that even comes close. And that's why in Psalm 139, David said that God's excellence and greatness was way too high for him to comprehend. So our best is we can know and come to believe all of these profound truths regarding the peace of God, but he has made it clear that we won't understand it all, because a complete understanding of his peace surpasses our abilities in these carnal bodies with this flesh and blood body. Even though our minds, we have the mind of Christ, we're born again, we love with divine love, we walk on his word, yet with all this in place, no one can come close to understanding everything about the peace of God. And, the truth is, the peace of God that we have, it's through Christ's accomplishments. It means it stands out. The peace of God rises above. It's over the top. It's superior and excelling above anything that we could ever possibly put together. Now, here is why it surpasses all understanding. Because the word for understanding refers to the mind, which houses our ability to know. And it is the place where we put things together for comprehension and for understanding. It's kind of the workshop. The mind, generally speaking, is the headquarters for our thoughtful awareness, for our provings, for our deliberations. This headquarter houses the faculties of perception and understanding, and those of feeling, judging, and determining. So, that all happens in the minds of a flesh and blood person. Yes, we have the Spirit of God. Yes, we can attain enlightenment. We can attain understanding. But yet, this scripture says the peace of God, that understanding, it surpasses anything that we could ever come up with in this life. And again, bringing our attention to the truth that the peace of God is that far superior to anything we could work out, study, and decide in our brain. And it is this peace of God, surpassing a complete understanding, that will guard your hearts and minds. The word for will guard literally means shall guard. It shall. It absolutely will. If we are not anxious for nothing, if we follow that commandment in verse 6, the peace of God shall guard. And that means to protect by a military guard, either to prevent a hostile invasion or to keep inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. Figuratively, it means to hem in or protect or keep. You think under the shadow of his wing or in the palm of his hand or in the bosom of his heart. There's no invasion of evil thoughts that is going to make it through that when we follow the commandment in verse 6. So what shall be guarded? Your hearts and your minds. So let's break this down. First of all, the word hearts, it's the word cardia, Strong's 2588. And literally, the heart is the chief organ of physical life. The heart in our chest, it beats, it pumps blood. And it is considered the chief organ because Leviticus 17:11 instructs that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So our life courses through our veins, goes through the heart, pumps in, pumps out, and keeps us alive. Therefore, the heart occupies the most important place in the human systems. That's it. So it is an easy transition that the word cardia, the word for heart, figuratively and spiritually, came to stand for man's entire mental and moral activity, both rational and the emotional elements. The heart, it lies deep within our chest cavity, and the heart that it's talking about here, the spiritual heart, it's deep within, hidden deep within the recesses of our mind. So, it contains the real person, the person that we have chosen to be. And from that heart springs forth that person's true character. Whatever he or she decided to believe, it then becomes the motivation driving their actions. So not only shall the peace of God guard that heart, God says it will guard the mind, which is a word denoting that which is thought out. So not only will God guard our hearts, but he'll even guard the workshop. His peace will hem in and protect the place where we sort things out, where we put on trial the flippy thoughts, where we put those thoughts through the strainer to make sure no unsavory sprigs of bitter herbs or anything gets into the heart to spoil the purity that is there. God will guard that. He shall guard it. And this is through Christ Jesus. Now, the word through is a little two-letter preposition, but it denotes a fixed position in place, time, or state, and implies a relation of rest. Now, you notice this little two-word preposition does not denote a fluctuating position of state. It denotes a fixed position of state. Through Christ Jesus is this fixed position of rest, because we're at peace with God. And the phrase completes the circle of promise. Believers are in this fixed position of rest spiritually. But to really enjoy and have these benefits flow in our lives, one has to obey the promise in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we stop to consider how God has taken care of us, it is awesome and almost inconceivable to see how this knowledge and trust in Him can so highly elevate the lives of sons of God, even right in the middle of such a messed up world. And, you know, when you think about it, when wasn't the world messed up? You know, just a couple of chapters in Genesis, and it was perfection, and then all of a sudden it came the crashing blow in chapter 3 where the devil inserted his big fat mouth. So, even all that Jesus Christ accomplished, it wasn't to save this world. So why are we trying to save it? It wasn't to save this world. It was to save those who would believe on Him according to the invitation in John 3:16. So, God commands and promises, as we read in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that cannot even be fathomed to its uttermost will, literally, the word means shall, will or shall, guard the area of the mind where the things of God are sorted, and then into the heart where those precious things are hidden away under lock and key. Living 24/7, and please excuse my language, but I cannot think of a more apt description. But living in a perpetual pissed off state of mind at the government, at neighbors, at whatever bee lodges in one's bonnet, it is sin. It's not God's will to go through life with that kind of defeating attitude, even about evil, You know, sure, David says he loathes evil, but he also asked God to help him through that. That was his petition. That was his prayer. That was his request. You know, but, and then all that cantankerous way of existing can be easily remedied when we speak figuratively. I just really love this analogy. When we speak figuratively, or sinking our teeth into the word, or eating and digesting it, the analogy of eating food and processing it makes study of the word more clear. One of the first things we learn about eating is to eat slowly, to chew each bite well. Digestion is a step-by-step process in the body, and it begins with everything that is in the mouth, the tongue, the teeth, our glands that secrete saliva, everything that's within that mouth. And it's taking the time to realize and enjoy the aromas, the flavors, the textures. And, you know, when chewing, glands in mouth and throat secrete that saliva for one purpose. They aid the digestion. You know, teeth play an important part, breaking down food for swallowing and for their digestion. Eating slowly, chewing on every bite allows the maximum absorption of the vitamins and minerals from that food to get into your body. It provides an easy-to-follow analogy of eating and not digesting the Word of God. Mixed with the knowledge of God's instructions to study, it becomes clear that very little spiritual vitamins and minerals minister to our spiritual health when a bite of food, the Word, a teaching here, there, yawn, is swished from side to side for a second or two and just swallowed whole. You know, at some point, you have to savor over that meal, whether it is your personal study, whether it is a teaching, working those things, whether they are so, as the Bereans did. You know, there could be a spike in the sensorial enjoyment. You know, you get high from hearing a teaching, you get all inspired. So there could be a sensorial enjoyment from aromas or flavors, but those fade. It fades all too soon, as a matter of fact. And if we get a hold of something bad, you know what? The body is designed to expel it. Well, I must say I have enjoyed taking the time with these verses that have been favorites for many of us over the years, reading, thinking, studying, and talking about the richness and deliciousness of God's loving words to us. It is healing to the body. It's healing to the mind. It's refreshing to the soul. And don't we need both? Don't we need all of that in this day and time? And the exhortation in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, is the perfect closing for our series. It's the continuation from verses 6 and 7. The Amplified Bible reads, "Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. These things," Paul speaking, "these things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life, and the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you." So that concludes part 3 in our series. For the continuation of this year, just to give you a little heads up, at least to the best of our knowledge at this time, we're going to be focusing on the various words relating to prayer. And we're thinking it is very possible that that will take us to the end of 2022. And our plan as it stands now is to take the month of December off from teachings. We'll give listeners time to catch up, to be ready for 2023. And It is our prayer that as we enter 2023, the place where we sit and pray will shake from the power of the Holy Spirit that is so red hot within us. So we're considering concluding in November with the teaching on communion. And so should you care to do so, you could plan for communion sometime in December. And we'll see how that goes as we move along. And communions don't have to be a large gathering. Larry and I have, throughout our marriage, even when our daughter was living with us at home, that the three of us would sit and have communion. Then later in our lives, sometimes we just feel stirred to sit down and make remembrance of Christ and his accomplishments and do a little communion just with the two of us. So we'll see how that goes as we move along. Then we'll talk about the plan, teaching plans for 2023 at that first teaching in January. So until our next time together, God bless you, and please don't be anxious to the point of distraction, worry, or fear, but in contrast, in everything, with earnest prayer addressed to God, seek God's aid in particular matters. With grateful language of gratitude, let your request be made known unto our loving Father. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We love you all. God bless you.